Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The hook on this song goes, I need two pair. Well, we need one, Chip Brière. On overtime, Chris Miles here with you. And the Washington football team going to face the undefeated Pittsburgh Steelers on Monday night. And Ben Roethlisberger just looked a little bit angry, or a lot of it angry, calling the game against the Washington football team the second part of a doubleheader. Is that a bit much, Chip? Because he certainly has a chip on his shoulder about playing on Monday.
I think he's on point, and I want to know if you came up with that rhyme on the spot, because if so, kudos to you. But I'm more worried about Mike Tomlin, because I'm following his post-game press conference right now, and he's being very blunt, and he has been quoted by saying, we sucked. So knowing him as a head coach and him wanting to get the best out of his team on a short turnaround against the Washington football team, with everything to gain and lose, this is a trap game. Either way, you swing it.
You're saying, so for the Pittsburgh Steelers, looking at it, it's a trap game even before this. So now the Washington football team going to have 11 days rest. And the way I look at it, you know, because they last played on Thanksgiving, and now, you know, we're already entering a week that they've had off. And the Steelers are going to have essentially, what, 3 days rest? You call it four, but playing on Monday, you get basically Thursday and Friday to recover. Then Saturday to really, like, okay, what's our game plan versus the Washington football team? Sunday to get ready for it, and then you're hosting them on Monday. That's a crazy quick turnaround, whereas the Washington football team, they knew they were playing the Steelers, so they began prepping already. And they had the opportunity to watch the tendencies. And we know Alex Smith studies. We see what Terry McLaurin does. Chase Young, Montez Sweat, all these guys. Am I crazy to think that what once looked like a game that you just scratched off as that's a loss for Washington, that they could really make some noise by being the first team to beat the undefeated team in the NFL on Monday?
I would call it wishful thinking. And I'm going to bring this point up that I think a lot of people aren't thinking about right now, which is the Washington football team beat the Cowboys in their first game of the series, 25-3, had a bye week, then came back and played the Giants, who had played a game during the bye, and ended up losing that game. So keep that in mind, because even though Washington had another convincing win over Dallas on Thanksgiving with even more rest behind their belt, and now the Steelers had the short turnaround, the Steelers are playing at home. They have that chip on their shoulder. Washington's playing great football, but if history has told us anything, it's that Washington does not fare well in these matchups. You like to think that with the rise of Antonio Gibson, Alex Smith's consistency in the pocket, trying to not throw the football away, which he has done very well now a couple weeks in a row, and the way that Pittsburgh's offense struggled, it's wishful thinking. And my final point to this before we move on, James Conner comes back. They could not run the football. When James Conner comes back to Pittsburgh, it's going to be a much different story offensively. That opens things up for Big Ben, Chase Claypool, Juju Smith-Schuster, and Deontay Johnson.
So you're basically saying that Ben is ticked off, the Steelers are getting a fresh player back, and they're going to stomp the Washington football team.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that a lot of fans, based on what I'm looking at, I'm literally looking at social media as we talk right now, Chris. They feel like, nah, this is a trap game. Washington actually has a better chance now than they did before. I'll give them that. I will give the fans that optimism that they should feel pretty good right now going into this game. However, wishful thinking, going to keep harping on that because so many times Washington has gotten hyped up thinking they can pull off the upset and they don't. I believe the tools are there that they can do it. I just don't see Pittsburgh putting up two back-to-back duds, how much talent they have, the coaching that they have, and just their tradition of playing at home, even without fans. It's just hard to get a win in Pittsburgh.
So let's see how accurate you are with that, Chip. For all of the Washington football team fans out there, do you think your team has a better chance now to beat the undefeated Steelers than you did before? Hit us up, 1-800-636-1067. I want to see if what you're saying is true because sometimes social media is very accurate. Sometimes it can be a little misleading, and I think this is a very interesting conversation to have because I don't know. I really thought I looked at it before. Not that the Washington football team is going to win, but I thought they had zero chance before, where now I think that percentage is much higher. So now there was a blast from the pass in RG3, and he was awful. I mean, he had, in the first quarter, he had as many turnovers as he had completions. Trace McSorley came in for one possession, essentially, and had more passing yards on two completions than RG3 had.
He also got that backdoor cover.
Yeah, I mean, and when you look at RG3, it's like he's still essentially 8 years later a running back.
Yeah.
Was it? It felt sad to watch.
And don't forget the pulled hammy. When he's getting on that outside run and you see him pull up the hammy, just reminds you that Robert Griffin III is getting up there. I think he's 30 now. And when he was in the heyday, I mean, Kyle Shanahan, give him credit. He knew what he had on his hands and he was kind of transformative in the sport at the time when he had RG3 under center. It just makes you wonder what could have been had he not had that ACL tear in the wild card game against the Seattle Seahawks all those years ago, because maybe we're talking about a different RG3. It was good to see him out there. I saw him in person against Pittsburgh in his last start to end the season a year ago, and he got the win there. It's just you feel bad for him, and I hope that, you know, he comes when Lamar comes back and RG3 is still the backup, you hope that he will be, but I was hoping for more from Robert Griffin III. I know this is a big game and he likes to play up, but I think he was just, I think Father Time is starting to knock at the door for him.
Yeah, that, and he had it was an opportunity for redemption. You know, if he came out and balled out, all eyes on this game, like, let's face it, it's a Wednesday afternoon NFL game during COVID. Are you kidding me? Like, if you weren't watching this, are you a sports fan if you weren't watching this? Because even if, like, you're a, the NFL is okay person, if you're that person, this is a game you're going to watch because it's either this or like Penn State basketball. You know, like those are your two options.
By the way, just beat BCU.
Yeah, and the only reason I looked at that is because for my podcast, there was a kid I interviewed that went to Sidwell Friends at plays point guard. They was like, oh, let me check this out for a few minutes. Nope, Steelers, Ravens, I'm going to check it out for 2 seconds and get back to that. So here's another question I think you'd have a great answer to.
Shoot.
Is Terry McLaurin the best player on the Washington football team currently?
It's not even a question.
Okay.
Yes, he is. Leaps and bounds ahead. I put him top five in the NFL right now.
Whoa, top five
to my
player.
Head.
Alert!
He has more receiving yards than Jerry Rice after 24 career games in the NFL.
Whoa. Let's calm down. Different era. Stats are skewed there a little bit.
I'm here for it.
That was a little that was on fire. That was like alarms going off. We're getting out of the house fire.
Carolina Reaper's in my mouth, man.
Now, here's what I'm saying. We agree that we're going to leave it at best player in the Washington football team. You're saying top five in the league, which is another, we might have this matter of fact, I'm going to have you back on Friday, and that's all we're going to talk about. Because I'm going to look this up and see where you're going with that. Terry McLaurin is a top five player in the NFL. But clearly you think he's the best player in the Washington football team, as does everyone else I've talked to, and I feel the same way. So there's no disagreement there. Who's the second best player currently?
Antonio Gibson.
Okay. Then who do you have third?
Chase Young. No. I take that back. Montez Sweat right now. I have him third. I'd have Chase Young four. And then five, I would probably have Alex Smith. So that's my top five Washington football team players right now.
Interesting. Because I have Chase Young number two. And the reason I have that is I think the last 2 weeks he's made the, oh, this is that guy plays. Like he just has.
Sure.
And I think before that, you know, he was saying it was his groin and he was getting double teamed all the time. I think we need to see it for a couple of more weeks, but he is who we thought he was. It's there. It's obviously there. So I'm going to go ahead because he's double teamed. Is Montez Sweat double teamed as often as Chase Young? I don't believe so. In the advanced metrics,
he's not.
Yeah. See what I mean? So
he's not. The metrics show it. He's not.
Yeah, and that's the only reason why. And I respect your opinion on that. It's not like you're crazy. No, we're not doing that. But I thought your list was really interesting because I also had Antonio Gibson at five because I haven't. He's had opportunities, and I think I haven't seen him do it enough. Is that fair? Meaning,
yeah.
The glimpses, absolutely. But I need to see it more consistently. And that's kind of what we were saying about Montez Sweat at the end of last season. So, Chip, you know, since I'm going to have you back on Friday, we're going to have a longer discussion there about our guy Terry McLaurin and how we view him. And you're saying a top five player in the NFL. I have to do my research, and you just made that a hot topic. We may have to do an entire show on that. If you got some numbers to back it up.
It's worth discussing, man. Seriously. What he's doing, how pros and legends are talking about him right now, it's a conversation that we all need to be having right now. I think, seriously. Build around Terry McLaurin.
All right, Chip Breer. Tell everyone where they can watch your show. Make sure we had Kelsey Nelson on. So you guys part of the same team, the same network. Tell everybody where they can find your show.
So you can find us on the Washington Football Team page or their YouTube page. We are The Beat. Get a panel together of the local national NFL journalists talking about the Washington Football Team. Get you ready for game day. Saturdays at 9 a.m. You can follow me on social media at Chip_Breer, B-R-I-E-R-R-E. I can't get the rhymes like Chris Miles can, but we'll have a good time.
And yes, those were freestyle bars, my friend. I didn't know what music he was going to play. I don't even remember what I said, actually. Do you recall? I can't remember what the beat was.
We'll have to check the tape. Go under the hood.
Oh, you know what? It was the Nelly song, I Need Two Pairs, and it just so happened it rhymed with my man Chip Breer. Thanks for stopping by Overtime. We'll have you back again on Friday to talk this Terry McLaurin top five, alive and well, overall player in the NFL. That's what Chip Breer says. Thanks for stopping by.
Always, Chris.
All right, so one of the things we talked about was this the Washington Football Team, Pittsburgh Steelers. I see we have a couple of calls. We have to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to hear from you guys. So stay on the line. If anybody else wants to chime in, do you feel better about Washington Football Team's chances against the Pittsburgh Steelers on Monday after watching what happened tonight against the Baltimore Ravens? The short rest. The tough game. Ben Roethlisberger saying it's like the second part of a doubleheader. It's a little too much. The Washington Football Team having 11 days rest. Hit us up. 1-800-636-1067. The next segment, we want to hear from you. And do you think the Washington Football Team has a better chance at winning now than they did a few weeks ago against the undefeated Steelers? Washington Football Team going to face the undefeated Pittsburgh Steelers. Wes Hall, one of the hosts of the Washington Football Team pre- and post-game shows the past couple of weeks. In fact, hey, that team 2-0 when he's hosting the show. That's all I'm saying. It's going to be interesting to see what he has to say about this topic. But first, let's hear from you. Hit us up, 1-800-636-1067. We have about 5 minutes to hear from you. And do you think that the Washington Football Team chances of winning have increased by the Steelers, who are undefeated, having to play today and then having to play the Washington football team on Monday. Let's go to line two, Jay in Stafford. What say you?
I'm with you, man. I feel like their odds have definitely improved. I don't think this is a, you know, banquet win. We're going to win this game. But at the same time, you know, watching this develop, the game gets pushed back day. It's a division game against Baltimore. I mean, that's like Washington and Dallas for them. You know, that emotional bang of, oh, wait, we got to play again in 4 days. You know, that wears those guys down.
Yeah, I mean, look. When you say play that next game, you know, 2 games in 4 days, that just sounds like impossible to me when I watch the Ravens and the Steelers. And it's, I mean, that was smash mouth football that we just watched. And to think that the Steelers are going to be able to get the right rest, get the right recovery, watch all the film they need to. I know they're 11-0, and they are in a different stratosphere than the Burgundy and Gold right now. It just feels like, so you're saying there's a chance. That's how I feel about the Washington football team, whereas before, it's like, well, maybe this is a game you put Dwayne Haskins back out there, and J.D. McKissick carries the rock, and Terry McLaurin stands on the sidelines in bubble wrap. You know, I mean, I'm being ridiculous about it. Which is why I looked at that as an automatic loss. Not going to happen. Where now I'm like, so you're saying there's a chance. Mike and Lanham, are you with me or against me on this?
I'm with you. Again, I'm not going to be one of these rosy-cutter glasses fans and say there's a 80% shot. But if there's ever a moment you want to play them, it's this game. And again, you've already mentioned the short rest. Plus, we can be that classic look-ahead game because they got the Bills the following Sunday night in primetime. So just with short rest, them having to play, like you said, 2 games in 4 or 5 days because I think it's Monday night now. With us coming off 11 days rest, I think they got a good shot. If you even look at the games they played in our division, it was a 2-point game against the Eagles in the fourth quarter, and they were down 2 scores to Dallas with their fourth-string QB. So they've had a tendency to kind of perform down to the teams in our division. So why not us? Why can't we be that team that's going to upset them? I'm just hoping they can put in a good game plan for that short passing game because that's all they do now. They don't really run the ball like they used to. Big Ben's back there throwing it 40-plus times a game. So they're going to have to be on the P's and Q's with that passing game because I don't think they're going to give us an opportunity to get a lot of pressure on them.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate the call. And going in-depth in the Steelers and their short passing game, which – I've heard that for so long about teams once quarterbacks get a little long in the tooth. Drew Brees, that was the book on him for a while. Peyton Manning, that became the book on him as well. Props to Aaron Rodgers, that's not the book on him as of yet. But that's what the Washington football team is going to have to deal with, and it's a little different. Chip Breer was kind of saying, we're offsides. The Steelers are going to come in and the Steelers are going to host and dominate. Now, originally, I looked at this part of the schedule and I thought, well, the Washington football team has to go to Dallas, then to Pittsburgh, then to San Francisco. Losses. But then Dak Prescott got hurt. That was the first thing that happened. I'm like, oh, they might be able to win that. They're going to win that one. Then they smack Dallas. And I'm like, okay, so that's a win, even though it's at Dallas. But Pittsburgh's an automatic loss. Woo, not so fast. Washington football team has won 2 in a row. Steelers just eked out against a Ravens team decimated by COVID, starting a putrid RG. You know, the Steelers won by 5, and RG3 had 33 yards passing in 3 quarters, threw a pick 6. I mean, if you look at the difference in a game, RG3 does not throw that pick 6, and maybe the Ravens win. And maybe the Steelers are not this undefeated team coming in to play a Washington football team where I've said this before, they're 4-7. I really do believe in my heart of hearts that they should be 6-5. What I point to is Dwayne Haskins' meltdown in a Cleveland Browns game, where he put on that Miami Hurricanes turnover chain, but the inverted version, You know, just throwing interceptions, fumbling. That was a game that it felt like the Washington football team won and the quarterback lost it for them. 100,000% is how I felt watching that game. And then the two-point conversion against the New York Giants, I still don't get that. I know it's been 2 months harping on that because I look at those as two wins that were on the table that they let go. So if I'm looking at this team in my mind as more of a 6-5 instead of a 4-7 team facing, sure, an undefeated Steelers team, it's coming on short week that beat the Ravens by 5 who didn't have their starting quarterback, their starting running back, and several other starters because of COVID-19. I don't know. Just feels that way. When we come back here on Overtime, we'll check in with Wes Hall, see if he's feeling me. Bust the Bus has one of the best albums of 2020. I don't care what you have to say about that. That is just a fact. Also was a high school classmate of the late, great Biggie Smalls and Jay-Z. Imagine those ciphers back in like 1993. Chris Miles here with you on Overtime. Let's bring in my man, Wes Hall. What's up, fella?
Flip Mode is the squad. What's good?
Man, you know, maybe so first of all, I got to give you props because you've hosted the Washington football team pre- and post-game shows the last 2 weeks. They're undefeated. When you host the show, this team is they're the Pittsburgh Steelers when you host the show.
Give me the horn, baby. Give me my horn, man. Give me my horn.
Oh, he needs the hip-hop air horn. Get on that. He needs the hip-hop air horn for that.
Give me that. Give me that love, man. Give me that love. I'm trying to be Washington's good luck charm. You know what I'm saying?
I don't even know. Did you realize that factoid?
Oh, you better believe I did. I ain't going to lie. I'm not going to lie. I was like, Bengals? Check. Then I was like, ooh, if only on Thanksgiving. And then lo and behold, a 41-16 trouncing, a thumping, a dragging on Thanksgiving. No, honestly, truth be told, another factoid, when I did it in week 2 over the Cardinals game, they lost. So I was like, I'm not perfect. But recently, I'm on a win streak, so I'll take it.
Yeah, undefeated, 2-0. Never lost.
Yeah. Never lost. Hit my horn.
And so when I look at the rest of the schedule, let's take a step back because originally I looked at it as they're embarking on this part of the schedule right before they face the Giants. The first time I was like, oh no, the second time I looked at the schedule when they beat the Cowboys 25-3, like, look, you got the Giants, Lions, Bengals, Cowboys. You got to win 3 of 4 of those. And then they started off 0-2. And I was like, all right, this season's over. Like, honestly, I was like, all right, it's a wrap. It's a wrap. You remember that Chappelle skit, wrap it up, B?
Wrap it up.
I felt like they should do that for the season. And then, boom, they beat the Bengals, like you said. Then, boom, they beat the Cowboys. Now I look at it like they needed to win one of those games before, but what they need to make the playoffs is a game that we had as an automatic loss. Mm-hmm. Like, this one against the Steelers felt like an automatic loss. So if they – do you like their chances? Because, I mean
– Look, I'm going to be honest with you.
What?
You're tipping into what I was talking to somebody about this earlier today, about Any Given Sunday. It's a cliche. It's a pretty decent movie, and I love Al Pacino's speech in the 4th. But here's the reality of it. It's true. It's really all about the team that comes and performs the best on that particular day. And like you said, you track how we looked at the season coming up to this point. And for most purposes, you know, it took its natural course. We're like, it's going to be difficult. Here's a loss there. Here's a win here, blah, blah, blah. But at this point, having gotten 2 wins under the belt, the second one being more of an emotional one than they needed more than anything. The scoreboard was nice. But beating the Cowboys on Thanksgiving with the nation watching was the emotional catapult that this team needed to get a ton of confidence going into this Pittsburgh game. I feel the Pittsburgh game, not the San Francisco game, the Pittsburgh game is the trap game for the Steelers. I think this is the one, especially with it being moved to Monday at 5:00, again, with the nation's eyes on them, an opportunity to play spoiler to an undefeated team. This is a situation that I think is going to bode well for Washington. All they have to do, maintain pressure up front, and by all means, if Roethlisberger is able to dump it out of his dang own pocket, please, somebody, knock it down. That's all you got to do. Play sound defense, and you'll be fine.
So, here's the other thing. When I look at this team, I see them as coming of age. And there were so many question marks. Is Chase Young going to be the guy that's that second pick in the draft? Is Montez Sweat just having a great ending to his rookie season? Can you depend on that first round draft pick, right? Like you did at the end of last season, this season? Well, the answer is yes. Antonio Gibson, is he really good enough to cut Adrian Peterson, because the first couple of weeks, not so much. I mean, it really wasn't until that 25-3 win against Dallas that you were like, oh, yeah, that's look. I mean, you know, 6 weeks into the season, we still were questioning whether or not that was like a wise decision. And it didn't seem like it at the time. And then Scary Terry has taken it. He's leveled up. So when you put all those factors into the equation, and Alex Smith, even though, you know, it's like he was averaging 5 yards per pass last time out, it's not like he's like he's leading them to wins, but he is not making as many mistakes and just kind of playing his part.
You know what he's doing? He's giving us old school football. And, you know, back in the day when we were kids, you know, teams had, you know, steel curtain defense, what was it, purple people eaters from the Vikings back in the day, the no-name defense.
The 46 Eagles.
Oh, my gosh. Don't even start with Buddy Ball. Good grief. Yes. Them.
The Bears.
The Bears. Period. But look, the way I look at this offense for Washington, I kind of think of them like the paper cut offense. It's not going to get you on one big punch. No. They're going to give you death by 1,000 paper cuts, because obviously you've got Gibson and McKissick that can both swing out of the backfield. Both are electric, fast, and elusive. So instead of your traditional just 3 yards up the gut, you're not going to get that much out of this offense. You're going to get off tackle. You may get a little counter. And then it's going to be death by 1,000 paper cuts. Alex Smith doesn't need to go vertical every single play. On your average 9-play drive, he's probably going to go vertical probably twice. And that's okay. That's okay. Why? Because if it keeps the offense on schedule and it keeps the defense honest, you're going to win. You take the yards that they give you. You walk down. You minimize mistakes. No self-inflicted wounds. And you end up walking away with a dub. I really think if they minimize self-inflicted wounds and continue to keep the offense balanced, and I mean on the passing side balance between Sims and making sure that McLaurin is not your only target, make sure that Logan Thomas gets the ball in his hands however you want to do it. Line him up as quarterback, line him up as running back. He can play kicker and head coach, whatever you want him to do. Keep him in multiple positions that create matchup nightmares. And I promise you, this Steelers game is going to come out looking a lot different than a lot of people expect.
Man, and I don't know if you've seen the news about Bud Dupree, Steelers linebacker, dynamic linebacker, torn ACL. Out.
I hate those. I hate ACL injuries. I hate injuries, period. But, like, all the CLs, AML, like, they're not fun, man.
What about the CL6 or the CLA? I mean, no, those are CLs you can get behind.
Yeah, but, like, the CLA is a smaller Mercedes, and I just really don't like it. Sorry. It was too easy. The joke was too easy. It was right there. I was like, I told myself I'm not going to do it, and I still did it. But no, that sucks for him, and I hate injuries. And, you know, you want guys to recover. I was just looking at Odell Beckham Jr. is going through his recovery as well, and seeing him try to come back. When you think about all the guys that have gone down due to injury this season, it's remarkable how we talk about the philosophy of next man up. Well, due to injuries and COVID, like, every guy that's ever been a part of the franchise at any given moment has to be ready for the call, period. I mean, Broncos just threw out a practice squad receiver as their quarterback. Man, you can imagine the pressure that he's got to go through. Washington just signed their quarantine quarterback. So it's all about next man up, and you wish him the best and hopefully a speedy recovery, for real.
Yeah, but even saying that, it's an unfortunate injury. But now you have just 3 days, 4 days rest for the Steelers and coming back, and Ben Roethlisberger saying, this is like the second part of a doubleheader. I mean, that's a major injury, but also the bumps and the bruises and the fatigue and, you know, taking the time to get your body right.
What did Lombardi say about that fatigue? He said fatigue makes cowards of us all.
Yeah.
This is why Washington has an opportunity here. I'm dead serious. when you've got a team that is mentally, we all acknowledge the physical aspect of it, but the mental wear and tear of getting up for a game, it gets rescheduled again, then gets put in the next week. Then you got to turn back around and get ready for another opponent who's just, you know, chomping at the bit to take a chunk out of you. That takes a toll on you mentally. And as long as Washington doesn't come out rusty, I'm telling you, the Steelers can get punched in the mouth real quick. And if I was the Steelers, let's just flip the coin real quick. If I'm the Steelers, I'm like trying to avoid an undefeated regular season. I know everybody's like, oh, go undefeated. No. Look at the 2015 Panthers when they went undefeated. Right? You know, how did that go? They didn't go undefeated. They were 11-0 at this point. That was the last time a team got to this point. And if I'm not mistaken, how did that regular season end for them? They did not win the Super Bowl. Oh yeah. Anyway, let's see. The Patriots ran 18-0, got to the Super Bowl, and then David Tyree.
Who they lose to? Undefeated. What was the quarterback on that team?
Oh Lord,
Eli. You know, that brings me to something. I started the show with this. I started the show with this, and I really want to run this by you because I look at RG3 as a guy who his rookie season, he mastered the moments. You know, it was the griffining. It was the winning the NFC East and, you know, really resurrecting this franchise. Give him credit for that. Since then, oh, man, since he hurt his knee, he's missed every minute, every opportunity. Like Eli Manning, mediocre player for years, 2 Super Bowl wins over Tom Brady, immortalized with the New York Giants. Yeah. You know what I mean? So when I look at that and I think about the moments, RG3, I felt like this was the moment I saw it and said, it's over. It's over.
Yo, you were savage, yo. You know why you savage? Wifey said the same thing. She literally sat that we were sitting there watching. She said, watching this just made me realize, like, it's over. And I kind of got my feelings because I was like, first of all, I was staring at my phone. Second of all, I'm like, why? What are you talking about? I mean, we didn't expect anything anyway. Like, but both of you speak truth. You know, when I compare the two quarterbacks, and I see this happen a lot, and especially the comparison to Eli and guys like him, it's kind of like the race between the tortoise and the hare. Yeah, the hair is going to be dynamic. It's going to give you moments of flash and flare, and you're going to be like, oh, my gosh, it's so beautiful. But that tortoise just keeps trudging along step by step. And when they meet a moment, they stay consistent, and that's what allows them to be able to take advantage of those moments. It doesn't have to be the sexiest thing. It just has to be effective and efficient, and that's why guys like Eli continue to win. Don't get me to arguing about Hall of Fame status because that will create a havoc, and I'm not teasing you to do it. I really mean, don't ask me about that because I'm going to get mad. So,
yeah, I mean, the fact that Trace McSorley came in and had one drive and doubled up RG3's three-quarters of passing.
But you know why Robert's there. Robert was there literally if something happens to Lamar, the most dynamic part of Lamar, not being his arm, even though we appreciate it, know that's going to keep him in the league forever, it's the running aspect. Robert is there to be just a little bit of consistency from your first to your second quarterback, so that way you can run your offense. What we saw today was understanding that, you're right, Trace McSorley is probably more a wiser decision to be at that second spot than Robert. I think the game has passed him by, and it's really unfortunate because he did come in with such a dynamic game and such, you know, a fervor for it. But I think a lot of things that happened early on, obviously the injury, but more importantly the mental wear that takes on him, and being able to move to a different franchise where you're not the man, it's not focused on you. We know what happened when he had to bounce out of Cleveland and stuff. So I think it creates a different scenario for him at this time in his career, and I think he kind of let off the gas a little bit, and it's hard to get back going once you let off the gas, especially a quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you come in and look, in the first quarter, I when he threw the pick six, I was like, all right, how significant is this? Well, let's let's put this in perspective. He had as many turnovers as completions. Mm-hmm. He gave this. They lost by 5, so the pick six was, you know, the turning point, the deciding points in the game. Trace McSorley Correct. Scored as many points on one drive as RG3 did in 3 quarters, and mm-hmm. and he put more points on the same amount of points on the board for Pittsburgh as he did for the Ravens.
Facts.
So those are all like, yeah, it feels like it's done. Final question. I've been running by all of the Washington football team people, and everyone seems to agree Scary Terry McLaurin is the best player on the team currently, hands down, in his second year. He's earned that. Okay? So we all agree. Okay. You agree with that?
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I was wanting to make sure if that was a question or a statement. I agree with the statement. I'm with you.
Who's the second best player right now, today?
Today. Chase Young.
That's where I'm at with it. So
Chase Young. Do I have to give you a reason why?
I mean, you're going to say what I would say, so I want to hear what you have to say.
I'm going to say because the fact that it averages 2 to 3 grown men to keep him off your quarterback kind of tilts things in his favor. And what that does is obviously it creates opportunities for his teammates. And that's what's so beautiful about him is that it's not necessarily about the 14.5 rookie sack record that Kurz holds. If Chase gets it, that'd be great. If not, and his team wins, and his teammates get to him, Allen and Tane and Sweat, get in there and wreak havoc, I'm all for that. That's what football is about. It's a team sport.
It's do you make guys better? And right now, Montez Sweat looks like into the season, he was can he be consistent? Is he a really good or great player? Now, with Chase Young out there, it's like, yes, we got two stars.
Yes.
Chase Young makes you have two stars on a defensive line, if not three or four or whatever you want to do there.
Absolutely.
So if we're doing a top five after that, we got Terry McLaurin and Chase Young's my 1 and 2. Who you got 3 through 5 currently, right now, as of today?
Number 3 is Gibson, and if I'm, you know, I got to have that. I'm sorry. He's still drafted 66. We all know that the stat line on him. But I just love the fact that he truly is a dual threat, both as a receiver. He's got wide receiver instincts, meaning he doesn't mind catching the ball with his hands and extending. That comes natural to him. A lot of running backs swinging balls out of the backfield. If you throw it anywhere outside of the core, they struggle with those receptions. Plus, he also has a nose for the open field being a receiver. He's comfortable in space and knows how to manipulate defenders. I love that. So that's why Antonio Gibson's my number 3 on the team. Swinging back to defense, can I do a position group?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. My number 3 is kind of – my number 4 is just kind of the rest of the D-line. Because that's where you're going to eat. That's where this team's going to survive, is applied pressure up front. If they don't get pressure up front, you leave your defensive backs, who obviously with Landon Collins and DeShazer Everett, I think, are also down. Like, a lot of these guys that would normally be in the lineup aren't there. There's no disrespect to the guys who are on the field right now. But you've got to make sure you don't put them in a position to fail. And by doing the pressure and the due diligence up front, you relieve them of that pressure up top. So that's number 4. And I guess number 5... here's number 5. He's going to surprise you. When they get a chance, and this is not a hot take, I really mean this. I love seeing J.D. McKissic and Gibson in the backfield at the same time. It's just something that brings joy to my heart because I know that they can cut you both ways. If you let Gibson go left or McKissic go right, you can split them both out. It's a mismatch. There's not a linebacker that can cover either one of them, and that's what I love about it.
And you know what's funny? That's the first time we saw Gibson go off against the Cowboys because McKissic was going one way and they handed Gibson the ball and you saw the two linebackers split.
Thank you. You saw them think. And that's what I'm talking about, Chris. You saw them think. Football is such a fast game. You have to train your mind into a position of instinct. The moment you can get a guy out of instinct and make him think in real time, you got him. You got him, and it's beautiful to watch. It takes so much pressure off the quarterback. Again, I know a lot of Washington fans are used to the traditional days of Alfred Morris falling forward for 3 yards. Stephen Davis days falling forward 3 yards. No disrespect to either of these professional men. They played the game I did. However, when you have today's game that is such a pass-dependent game and an offense that really needs more specialists besides just your receivers, these two offer a package that is really, really hard to defend, man. You make linebackers look silly. That's a good thing in the film room. When you make them confused, when they get to tap dancing, playing the air keyboard, you know, you throw your hands out and try to balance yourself. That's the air keyboard. Play your song, son. I love it. It's a beautiful thing.
So I think for this team to be good, if not great, in the future, we need someone on this list to be on that offensive line. We need two or three guys to be on, because that's what I'm finding right now. Is that there's no Trent Williams. There's no guy. I mean, Brandon Scherff in the preseason was on that list. And now Like, you don't have that anchor that you're like, well, we got this guy and this guy. Remember the Hogs? Mentioned that smash mouth. You always thought of the Hogs. They need that. I whatever they have to do, draft, overpay for a guy. If you're going to go out there and get a quarterback, we saw what happened with the Bengals. You know, you get the quarterback with no O-line. Deshaun Watson has been attacked his whole career. Sam Darnold has talent, but it looks like it's going to waste. If you're going to go get a quarterback in the draft soon, you got to get the offensive line together.
You have to secure. I mean, the offensive line is the foundation of any offense. And the thing about when you talk about the Hogs, you got to remember, like, Graham and those guys back when they were, you know, the Hogs here, that didn't happen that first year. It didn't happen that second year. It took time. It took time. And it was a different league back then. And don't forget that injuries have a lot to play with today's game. Trent, this first season without Trent, for real. I mean, we were going through all this stuff last season. But this is for real without him. And so it takes time to find that unit that can really stay together and play quality football and really adjust, because they had Adrian running the rock last year. Now, again, like I said, you got a different monster and Antonio. And so I think by this time next year, we will have an offensive lineman on that list for certain, if not the whole position group itself, because I really think that they're going to be the foundation of really making a productive offense for this team.
So trending, this is the final statement here. Trending on Twitter
Nate Robinson? Oh, sorry.
Oh, man. Y'all must have forgot. Trending on Twitter right now, why the Pittsburgh Steelers are the worst 11-0 team of all time. You ready for it?
Oh, boy.
The number one reason, plays the whole NFC East. Jeez.
That's terrible.
Oh, man. Plays the whole NFC East is the number one reason. Second reason, Bengals and Browns twice.
So hold on. So are we doing the same thing? We talking about quarterbacks who get off of trash divisions? If that's the case, then we're going to come at Tom Brady too, right? Because we ain't going to talk about them guaranteed wins against the Dolphins, guaranteed wins against the Jets, guaranteed split between Buffalo, because Buffalo would always sneak you 1-2. Is that what we're going to do? Because I'm all about picking quarterbacks apart for trash divisions.
Well,
my
point was that
maybe
the Washington football team has more of a chance because the Steelers, they're 11-0, but there's some reason to look at it and go, they're not exactly this dominant team in the NFL.
They're vulnerable. They're vulnerable, brother. They're vulnerable.
I brought it back together. Now, next time I have you on the show, I got to tell you what my man Chip Breer said. He said that Terry McLaurin is a top five player in the NFL.
Ooh.
No, that's not
true. You know what?
It's not true.
I like what he did there. It's very aspirational. I appreciate him for lauding Terry. I don't know if he's top five, but I will say he's definitely at the doorstep of being one of the top 10 receivers.
And I'm
confident with that.
There you go. He and I are going to have a whole courtroom drama next time he's on this show, because I was like, there's no way he's a top five player in the NFL.
Man, break out the People's Court theme with Judge Wapner so I can hear that, because I want to listen to that.
Here's the top five players in the NFL. Patrick Mahomes, Patty Mahomes. Pat, my homie.
Super Pat. Patrick Mahomes.
Project Pat. You know what I'm saying?
Pata.
Styles P.
Yeah, buddy.
that's it right there.
Patrick.
Oh, well, it's been fun, Wes, as always. Next time we're going to chop it up about, well, we'll find something new to talk about. I guess Wizards. You and I are going to
talk Wizards. And we'll talk LeBron playing basketball until he's 73.
And still being better than all of us. You know, he signed his contract the same age Kobe was right when it went downhill and everyone's complaining about that 2-year extension.
Yes.
LeBron signs and everybody's like, yeah, it makes all the sense in the world.
That's because they're just like super stands. But the difference is, and may Kobe being rest in peace, and I love him always as the picture between he and Jordan at All-Star sits above my head. Right now, the difference is LeBron is drawing other people to be with him. And at the time, Kobe was not.
Yeah.
Now, somebody want to get mad at me about that, let's go talk ball and fight in the streets. I remember that pain when we were the Lakers signing people up and couldn't get anybody to show up and play with Kobe. Nobody wanted to show up. Now LeBron's like, hey, I'll be here until I'm 97. Okay, let's come over and play.
Let's play it, Max.
Difference in personality,
right,
man. It's just difference in personality. That's all. Just make sure we're not being prisoner of the moment. I don't want anybody thinking I'm doing Kobe slander. I just keep it real, man. I've watched and covered the game. Like, that's what we do.
Wes Hall of NBC Sports Washington, thank you for stopping by Overtime. Going to have you again soon, my friend. Appreciate you.
My friend, always. Blessings to you. Give me my heart.
If you thought my man Wes brought the thunder, the lightning, the fire, wait till we hear from Errol Forsey at the top of the hour.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.